In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God, I ask for a special blessing on all the priests of my diocesan presbyterate. Help them to remember always that they do not work alone, but they are an intimate sacramental brotherhood under the leadership of our bishop, a ministry team for which they are all responsible. For the sake of their unified and coherent mystery, help them to remember that the ministry they do is not theirs alone, but a share in our bishop's ministry. For that reason, keep them always respectful of and obedient to his leadership. Help them to be diligent in their ministry, absorbed in it, so that their commitment may be evident and their service helpful. Inspire them to take good care of themselves and help them to be attentive to becoming more effective in their service. Show me, my brothers, information, ways to encourage our priests, those with whom we will someday be partners in service to the Church. Help them to set a good example for us in all that they do. Support our sick, retired, and absent priests with your loving care. I ask this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Holy and Immaculate Virgin Mary, I consecrate to you the priesthood entrusted to me by your divine Son, Jesus the great High Priest. I am all yours, and all that I have I give to you. Be my tender and loving mother, and remind me daily that I am a beloved Son of God the Father. May your docile yes to the invitation of the Holy Spirit inspire me to be a humble servant of your Eucharistic Son, as he once again becomes incarnate in my hands. Mary, you are the model of the Church, the Bride of Christ. Help me to live a life worthy of my noble calling, to be a chaste spouse and spiritual father to the Church. Reveal the beauty of your face so that I may be comforted in my frustrations. May I be purified and dwell within your Immaculate Heart, in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Saint Joseph the Worker. Teach me to be the man the Father wants me to be, laying down my life and sacrificing for my bride. In the same way you cared for the Holy Family. O Jesus, divine physician and good shepherd, heal me that I might heal. Lead me that I might lead all people into the love of the heart of the Trinity, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Mary, undoer of knots, pray for us. Mother of fair love, I look to you. take into your hands the ribbon of my life, and see the snare of knots that keeps me bound to sin, anxiety, and hopelessness. I beg you, Mother, by your powerful intercession and long fingers of love and grace, undo the knots in my heart and in my life. Free me to love as Christ loves. O my God, I am heartily sorry for ever having offended you, and I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I've offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint me, that I may deliver this conference with faith, reverence, and love. Lord, do not hold my past sins against me, but help me to spend the rest of my life in repentance. Lord, I pray that the words I speak may be helpful to my brothers to draw closer to you, now and ever and forever. Amen. St. Vincent, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Imagine Peter and John, after 3 years of seminary, having experienced the Pentecost and becoming a spiritual father to 3,000 people. Going over the 3 years and remembering in the garden when Jesus was before the authorities, saying, I deny him, I don't know him, I'm not the one you think I am. Or the time when you go with your brother and you ask Jesus, can we be the big deals and sit on one side of you and the other side? Denial, ambition. They probably thought an awful lot about that. And then all of a sudden, they had to get over themselves, and they had to look at that poor cripple. And that poor cripple is hoping they're going to give him some money. And what do they say? We don't have any. But we do have, we will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. At that moment, they became spiritual physicians, and it was the challenge of the rest of their lives to continue that healing ministry. They had to have paused and thought, now the Master is gone. The Good Shepherd, the Son of God, who is sinless, is no longer here on earth with us as we knew him. He has promised to be with us until the end of time. But now we, the sons of God, who are very sinful, are being asked to experience the role of Good Shepherd. And on Pentecost, we were able to speak in such a way that the flock was able to hear us and understand us. Oh my God. The Master in his ministry is going to continue in our ministry. When I was preparing the retreat, I wondered whether anyone else discovered the five identities of the Catholic priesthood. I know it was years into the Catholic priesthood that I even knew they existed. And I look at you who haven't been ordained priests yet, and you know them, and you can embrace them, and they can help you to be a better priest than I will have ever been. God is blessing you. But no matter what our situation is, God is always filling in the gaps. And that's the history of Christianity. And I tried to find out whether somebody else had discovered, and I found out that someone did. That there is this incredible concern about Christianity, and people are trying to figure out, as we see exoduses from church, what kind of pastoring skills are necessary to be able to respond to the real needs of people, to be able to find the skills we need to minister to them. What this group did is they embraced a tool, and the tool is called the Adelphi Method. And what the Adelphi Method is you figure out what your problem is, and you choose the experts in your field, and they become a panel. No one on the panel knows the other members of the panel. You send them your questions, and they respond to your questions. And then what you do is take all the responses, you send them back to them and say, can we come up with something that's workable? Well, some of the greatest minds in ministry in North America reflected on the challenges of the church. In the Catholic Church alone, in the 1950s, 79% of Catholics attended Mass every Sunday. Now we're down to 24% of Catholics. And we're doing good compared to other denominations. But is 24% good enough for us if we're sons of God? If we're willing to give our whole life to be the spouse of this bride of Christ? Do we only want to be spiritual fathers to 25%? Is only those 24 or 25% in need of healing? Would the Good Shepherd not go after the lost lamb? I was amazed with what they came up with. First of all, they came up with 64 qualities that made men awesome pastors. And then when they were asked to make it a workable group, it came down to 15. And when you take our five identities and you take their 15 qualities, it was amazing how three of the qualities came under each of the identities of the Catholic priesthood. Now, in terms of Good Shepherd, these are the three things that they came up with. Number one, an inspired creature. Number two, personal accountability. Number three, visionary leadership. Inspired preacher. At one time, and I can remember as a boy, going to Mass is all that was seen as necessary. There was no preaching. And then all of a sudden, as the world became more and more complicated, we realized there needs to be a new evangelization, because people who have been evangelized are losing their faith. So we need to have inspired preachers to help them to reclaim and rediscover their faith. As this attempt goes on, different churches have tried to explore, how do you help priests be good preachers? In the Diocese of Saginaw, for 1 year, After every single liturgy, the entire congregation would do a critique of the homily. By the end of the year, they had some pretty, pretty awesome preachers. Why? Because they were preaching to the real needs of people, not what they thought they needed. That kind of understanding is what inspired preaching is all about. How do you connect real people's lives with the good news? Jesus did it in such a powerful way. But even he realized that the sons of God, the people who give themselves to the ministry, they're going to be the first ones that need to understand. Because others are going to hear the parables, but they're not going to understand. It was like with the woman that I was telling you about who's pouring her whole heart and soul out to me. I can't just say some cheap words to her. I have to hope that we can begin to have a relationship that over time is going to be able to heal and restore her life in Christ. So you become a fool for Christ in order that you can begin this relationship and walk together toward healing. When that kind of thing happens, all of a sudden you can see the power of Jesus at work, transforming and changing our lives. In terms of personal accountability, the second major scandal in the Catholic Church in the United States, which is causing more and more people to abandon the church, is the misuse of finances of the church. I say to you, you will never be able to do what I have done in my lifetime and say, well, I deserve this or whatever, or I'm the one who makes the decisions about this. I went into a church that when I first began the church, there were 27 people. The reason there were 27 people is because the priest was a pedophile. The priest did the most outrageous liturgies you could ever imagine. And the priest decided that whatever the finances of the church were, it was his prerogative to decide what to do with it. And he made this beautiful little church into a brothel. There was a leper carpet on the sanctuary floor. Everything was orange. The people were horrified. And this man just eroded their faith. People who had been in this parish all their lives ran to someplace else where they could find God again. When I came in and I looked at what I was beginning with, I said, oh my God, how are you going to bring this group together? There has to be accountability. And there has to be the realization that we need a visionary leadership in order for these things to take place. I prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, what should I do? There was a little book at the time called His Way by David Knight. And it was all a 6-week program to help people reclaim their faith. The little book is still around, and it's very, very powerful. I asked the few people that were there to begin groups in their homes and to go through the program. And what we would do on Sunday is tie what they were doing with the worship and the liturgy of the church. By the end of that Lent, the church was full. And over the 13 years, what we were able to do is have masses so full that we were trying to figure out how can we expand the church to be able to accommodate everyone. Now that same church has no priest and they're dying on the vine. You can see the difference that a good shepherd can make when there is this inspired preaching. when there is this personal accountability for stewardship of God's church, and where there's the understanding you need a visionary leadership that is going to help people come back. There was one lady who went to one of the groups, and she was Protestant, and she got so into the group, she became a Catholic. And then she came up to me one day and she said, I was a Presbyterian. And she said, I've worked harder as a Catholic in 1 month than I did in my entire life as a Presbyterian. I had another lady come up to me. She was Protestant too. And it was a matter, she said to me, I never really connected with church. But she said, every time you celebrate Mass, I'm always thinking, it's as if this is the first time you're celebrating Mass. It's so easy when you celebrate Mass every day to just kind of get sloppy and not remember what you're doing. In the Byzantine church, you're not allowed to do that. You got to pray in front of the icons. Then you got to pray while you're putting your vestments on. Then you got to pray while you're getting your gifts. Trying to get you in the right place so when you get to the altar, you don't get sloppy. You remember, you're the animator. You're the one that is standing in the presence of the high priest who's calling his people together for worship. That makes all the difference in the world. When I look at what we have and what I look that people are discovering, I know we're on the right track. And I know that if we continue on this track and we build our presbyterates, we're going to be able to meet the challenges of this age in the life of the church. When you know the history of the church, you realize this is not the first time we're in this place. It's happened before. But with visionary leadership and people who know who they really are and are willing to sacrifice whatever is required to do it forever, things begin to be blessed by the Holy Spirit and people's lives are changed. Being forever, basically when you say it, you think, oh my God, it really is going to be forever. And then all of a sudden your teeth start falling out and you're trying to read the book and you can't see because your eyes are all blurry. And then you say, geez, I'm not really very slick anymore, and I'm so clumsy and everything, and now I'm getting like Father Paul. I'm shuffling around, and basically I think I know everything, but I'm hard of hearing, and I'm overpowering other people, or I'm like Father Phil, and I basically can't even breathe anymore because I've been smoking all of my life. And you think you've got it all figured out. And then all of a sudden you get a call on the phone call. We had a retreat master who was only 40 years old. And he was out walking and he got hit by a car and now he's paralyzed. Will you come and fill in for him? And then a month later, you get another call. We have a 50-year-old priest who's been healthy every single day of his life. He got sick, went into the hospital, and they discovered he was full of cancer. And we don't know whether he's going to recover. Then you wait another month, and you get another phone call. Father, can you come through for us? Father died. These are things, you know, when you're trying to figure everything out, and you think you got it all down, you might be mistaken. And this is why our tithing time to connect with God in solitude every single day of your life will teach you to be ready for surprises. Because you never know what God has in store. I really want to thank Deacon Larry and Father Boniface. I know some of you personally, and I love you. And every time I encounter you, I love you more. Some of you I know are thinking at this particular moment, where did Father Boniface get that old hippie from? He's probably a heretic. And if not a heretic, he's nuts. You might think differently someday. A parishioner came up to me one day and he said, Father, I've listened to you for 6 years and not one word you've ever said meant anything to me. Until I burnt down my home to pay off my drug lord, I've made my kids and my wife homeless. I've had to move my family back in with my mom and dad, and I've just finished with rehab. And while I was in rehab, it was amazing how many things you said over those 6 years that came back to my mind. So sometimes if you want instant gratification as a priest, you have to wonder, you have to understand, it isn't always instant. Sometimes you have to do what you believe in, and it might not be accepted, but you might find out down the road you sowed a seed, and the seed flourished. Some of you, it's a matter you've been quiet all during the retreat, but when you leave here, you're committed to pray for your presbyterate. You're committed to embrace fully the five identities. What more could anybody ever ask for? Different responses from different people at different times, given different circumstances in their life. That's how it plays out. But when you're in it forever, basically God teaches you incredible things that you don't make assumptions. You continually ask God's questions. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you? How can I meet the needs of God's people? As I think you understand pretty clearly by now, I'm not into Lone Rangers. I'm into presbyterates. There's only one exception, and that's saying goodbye. I don't like saying goodbye. I'm hoping that maybe someday we'll stand at the altar together and kind of celebrate. Or someday I'll meet you and your wife and your kids, and I'll be able to rejoice that you're such an incredible Christian father. Or I'll run into you and I'll see the good work that you're doing to make a difference in the world. However it all plays out, I would love to meet you again. So I want to say farewell. And I must say, if you didn't get anything out of this retreat, I got an awful lot from you. Thank you.